The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. I'm here with Jerry Kasar, the chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. It's exciting and an honor for me to be on the show with you.
Okay, so there are several smaller parties in New York State, one of which is the Conservative Party. How are you doing?
I think we're doing good. I mean, our enrollment has held steady, which I don't think all political parties can suggest that. Statewide of around 150,000. Our statewide vote, in presidentials or gubernatorial, hangs out in that mid $250,000 vote range. Funny I should put it that way. Vote range, and I'm personally, as the new chairman, attempting to increase our social media presence, our outreach to younger people. Try to sharpen up a little bit on our issue agenda. So I think all in all, we're holding steady, and I'm looking forward to a lot of good local election victories in 2019. Many people think this is a real off year, and it might be if you're living in the city of New York, but for the rest of the state, there's a lot of elections taking place.
What's the difference between you and the Republicans?
Well, I think that we have a social issue agenda that we spend time advocating for. I think that the party itself, advocates in general for a printed legislative agenda that we circulate with the legislature, whereas the Republican Party would tend to function a little bit more within the confines of their elected officials and heavily in support of that. I do think, though, that Nick Langworthy, the new state chairman, is very aggressive and is actually beginning to move the party out in a manner that is somewhat similar with the way the Conservative Party has functioned for decades. The other thing is that the Conservative Party does, on occasion, endorse Democrats, obviously if they're philosophically in line with us. So clearly that would be a difference with the Republican Party. So that gives you some idea.
Jerry, tell me about what's happening now. You know, the legislature is in its self-serving mode. The majority parties are. They're trying to basically put a crimp on the third parties. Can you tell us what's happening there?
Well, I can't specifically say it's the legislature as much as I can say it's the governor, with the legislature during that budgetary process essentially going along for reasons that are not completely clear because, let me just say what it is. It's the fusion voting issue.
Yes.
And what the legislature did was they created a commission to discuss potential public financing of elections, which, by the way, the Conservative Party strongly opposes. But in the process of doing that, they kind of attempted to poison pill it a little bit by indicating that the commission could review all aspects of what would be considered election law, and that in turn that after a December 1st report would have the force of law unless the legislature rejected it. Interestingly, on the Florida State Senate, the Democratic chairperson of the Elections Law Committee, upon questioning, said that what you and I are talking about relating to just moving into other issues was not the intent. But, that'll get debated out as we go further on, whether what occurred on the floor of the state Senate during the debate, where that will carry. The governor's out to get the Working Families Party. The state chairman of the Democratic Party is out
to get them off the ballot. The Working
off the
Families
ballot.
Party. They've been doing extremely well. Yes.
Jacobs is out to get the Independence Party because of bad blood between him and them in Nassau County, where he remains the Nassau County chairperson. And the Conservative Party just gets caught up in all of this. not that I'm suggesting they care for us, but I am suggesting that we were not their initial intent. That's all, you know.
Okay, so I'm a little confused, and I have a feeling some of the people who are listening are a little confused, to exactly how this would work. What is it that will happen as a result of this commission's report?
Well, we don't really actually know for sure. The Conservative Party is litigating. So is the Working Families Party. The suits are not really the same. We're litigating to indicate that the legislature didn't have the authority to delegate to a commission legal authority to make law, and also we're saying that the fusion voting is constitutionally protected based on a number of previous decisions as high as the State Court of Appeals. The Working Families Party, from what I understand, is primarily focused on the fusion voting. But the point, this is the thing. The language creating the commission is fairly vague, and you cannot, from the language, really draw a conclusion of what they think they can do and can't do. And because of that, you really have an overarching issue that this commission could essentially just take a... You know, Article 14 is the election law in New York State. That's a big section. They could literally do whatever they want without the representatives of the people, the legislature, agreeing to it.
Sure. Okay. Now we still need some clarification.
Sure.
And I'm sorry for putting you through this.
No problem.
What is fusion voting?
So fusion voting allows for the cross endorsements with the combining of the votes. So let's just say the Conservative Party endorsed a Republican, and the Republican got 20,000 votes on the Republican line and got 4,000 votes on the Conservative line, and then the Democrat got 22,000 votes. The Republican would have 24,000 votes under fusion voting.
In other words, you add the Republican vote and the Conservative vote,
right,
and that's fusion voting.
If fusion voting did not exist, you'd have 20 and you'd have 4. And the person who got 22 would actually beat the person who had 24,000 votes, which just in itself sounds unfair on its surface. Because, you know, I mean, there's many, many New Yorkers who choose to vote on the Conservative Party line strictly because they want to vote on the Conservative Party line. I mean, the party's been around since 1962, and the history of fusion voting goes back decades before that. Decades. The fusion voting was created during Tammany Hall as an anti-corruption statute. It was an anti-corruption statute by creating the opportunity for additional political parties to play a role in the process, diffusing Tammany Hall's strength. And it was proven successful.
So tell me right now, why is this governor at this time so intent on doing this? Because we think he is, right?
We suspect he is. You know, they go into denial all the time, but that's just, you know, political rhetoric. My belief is that he's attempting to penalize the Working Families Party for running a teach out against him at one point, and Cynthia Nixon against him, you know, more recently.
Okay, so the governor is in a take no prisoners move. Will the people of New York have any sense of what's afoot here, or will they just sort of shrug their shoulders and say politics as usual?
Well, I suspect people that are involved. So the third party movement gets around 600,000 votes normally. Statewide, when you add them all together, I mean, 600,000 votes can be as much as 15 to 20% of the total vote that comes out.
Sure.
And I suspect those individuals will not be happy that the option that they have utilized for all this time, and because, you know, this is a repetition year after year, I suspect they'll be quite upset. Additionally, I mean, our legal action isn't based on a popularity issue. Our legal action is based on, you know, on long respected traditions that the and law that the legislature cannot delegate its authority to make law. I mean, that's a good government group argument. That's something that many, many people are questioning. Why elect people that go out and delegate to a commission just to, you know, to get away with something? Additionally, I mean, we will argue that fusion voting is protected through a history of decisions.
So let's talk a little bit about Donald Trump. We've talked to the Republican chair, and now we're talking to you. I take it you have no qualms with Donald Trump, right?
We support Donald Trump. I was one of the unelected electors from New York for him 3 years ago, and we certainly support him.
Yeah, he's terribly unpopular in New York State. Do you think that's unfair?
Well, I think he's terribly unpopular in New York City. I would say to you, when I travel the state, and I've had an opportunity in this position to do quite a bit of it, I do not find that to be the case in many parts of the state. And, I mean, and in the suburbs of New York City, it's like a back-and-forth conversation. Little, you know, a little more negative in Westchester, a little more positive in Suffolk. So, but the city clearly, with the exception of pockets that exist in, you know, Staten Island, parts of Queens, Brooklyn, you know, Bronx, you basically have that as an anvil weighing down the state support. I might suggest to you, too, that...
Sure.
You know, that Trump, President Trump did do better than Romney and McCain statewide, and I would assume he's going to do better again. So as much as we make these assumptions, because let's face it, Donald Trump is a more polarizing figure, the actual data indicates, in terms of voting, at least historical voting, that Donald Trump is not what I think a lot of people assume in the state, and actually... In many parts of the state, he creates a very strong ticket.
I hear you. Let me ask you this. Now that the Republicans have lost the Senate, probably because of Governor Cuomo veering a little bit left or tacking left, as they say in sailing, a lot of Republicans are making moves, or some Republicans are making moves towards getting out, saying, we don't want to have the power of warm spit being in the minority, which the Democrats always were, so we're going to get out of here. So now you had somebody like Bob Antonucci... leaving the state Senate to do other things. So says Yancey Roy, the writer. Do you think that this is going to become a one-party state?
No, I do think there hasn't been a complete shakeout in terms of where, you know, in you might say the new world, where each individual political leader, party elected official, publicly elected official are going to end up in terms of their desire to stay in or leave. I, however, feel that history has shown that there are cycles that have become about. I mean, there were like 90 members from the Republican Party in Congress in 1933. And New York State had an enormous socialistic movement in the, you know, 30s. So I'm saying to you that things do come around, and we have a responsibility as party leaders to present arguments and positions to people to convince them as soon as possible that we should be back in power. It can't be done based on personality, and it certainly should not be done by just delivering a marketable media message. It has to be done with real programs and positions that people feel are important. Just recently, I just want to conclude with, recently, I mean, we are screaming and yelling about the $25 fee that's going to come on license plates, and I completely agree with that. That was ridiculous. But isn't that really the tip of the iceberg on people's minds flipping over to a position where New York State might really be looking to pick their pockets time and time again? And isn't that an opportunity to just go back with the facts of what has occurred in the state, you know, over the last few years and try to broaden out that as an argument using factual data and just essentially agreeing with what people are telling us on this issue? That it's making them very upset. I mean, property taxes in New York City now are beginning to become a real issue. So do you think about that was something that never occurred. And property tax increases in New York City, you know, were certainly a lot larger than $25 a year.
So let me go down the list on some things that I think you may have an interest in. I've been yelling and screaming, frankly, at the governor on the question of taking the pre-audit powers away from Comptroller DiNapoli. I thought that was disgraceful.
It was totally disgraceful. I mean, what else? Well, that's... My background is in accounting. I have actually an internal auditing background. And what I'm suggesting to you is that was absurd, it was improper, and, you know, now he's like attempting to, you know, give the elected auditor of the state of New York back authority to simply do his job. I mean, I you know, if
which he took away.
Right, and if that had been a Republican controller, my suspicion is we would have been all over court on this. But because they're all Democrats, they have to work it out among themselves, and they try to figure it out. That is a prime example why you need to have a two-party system and some elected officials statewide from different parties.
Okay, so let me go to another one now, the green light law. The undocumented drivers get licenses in New York. What do you think about that?
Well, we certainly oppose it. I could suggest to you on a variety of grounds, from just simply the rule of law to what many of the county clerks are arguing is an unmanageable situation. My sense was this became a political football for progressive politicians to carry on with an agenda that they've talked about for years, but we're probably very fortunate that never really came about. Now they're going to have to deal with the consequences of people believing this was not a good idea. And you saw what happened almost in the legislature there, where if it wasn't for Colin Schmidt and Nicole Malliotakis, they would have actually put in statute that these individuals would be automatically registered to vote. Now, you and I know that sooner or later that would have been caught up with, but you know what? It's scary to think what the legislature, out of ignorance, can accidentally cause to happen.
Why do you think it was out of ignorance? It seems to me that the Democrats in both houses thought, hey, we do this and the votes will come to us.
Because Al and I think better of people.
Well, here's my advice to you. Don't.
So, all right. And I respect you, and I'll take your advice. So, but what am I going to say? It could have happened, and we would have been, you know, working hard to pull back from the cliff, from falling over the cliff.
Okay. So now the pre-audit powers go back to DiNapoli, we think.
Right.
There's a handshake on it. I would have preferred a law, but what can I tell you? The green light law, the undocumented drivers get licenses in New York. Now, let's talk about something else, which has caused great chaos on public radio, and that is vaccinations.
Right.
There are many people who think that they should not have to vaccinate their kids. I am not one of them. I'm for vaccinations because I think we've had some 400 cases of measles. We might not have had them otherwise, but among children, and people could die from measles. So I have a feeling you might not be on the same side with me.
No. Actually, more on your side, and I think the party is too. So here's, we essentially were polling through our political party leadership, and it was very clear at the time that the party leadership did not believe that we should be anti-vaxxers, and that would be my view too. The vaccinations, when we talk about that that whole issue of what do they call it? You have to have a heavy vaccination to keep something from becoming a plague, essentially, or spread.
Yes, sir.
The herd issue. But getting back to it, the party has no official position on this. Most of the party leaders believe that going forward with the vaccinations made sense. But I will just say this. The issue of the religious exemption is controversial within the party, and because it falls over to a degree into the issue of parental rights. So even though there really, as far as I know, with the possible exception of the Christian Scientists, there does not appear to be a religious argument against to create exemptions. I mean, we've heard that from the Catholic Church, many of the Protestant churches. There is this carryover into parental rights, and I think parental rights need to be respected. So I would say to you that we generally support the vaccinations, but do feel that the government is showing a lack of respect for parental rights, and what they need to be able to do here is look at that aspect of it and see how they can address the concerns of parents who really want to refuse the vaccinations and in turn are going to have to understand their children cannot be admitted to a public or parochial school.
Except that's the crux of it, isn't it?
Well, it is the crux of it, but the thing is this. The state was very black and white on this issue. They were very much, it's one way or the highway. We, like I said, tend to support the vaccinations, but we do not feel that the state spent enough time looking at the concerns of the parents to see how they can aid them. New York State does everything in its power to work against homeschooling. They do everything in their power to work against charter schools. They work within the confines of the world they've created. Maybe the world needs to flip a little bit so these parents, who I don't agree with, I make that clear, I don't agree. Children should be vaccinated, but these parents' rights cannot be completely trampled on at the same time.
You can't have it both ways, though.
Well, I don't want it both ways. I want children in the schools to be vaccinated, but I want parents to be part of a discussion on how, since they obviously are going to be looking towards homeschooling, how we can aid them in terms of homeschooling. You and I are actually more on the same page on this, but I just hear from too many parents saying, you know, they have great fear.
But Jerry, if you homeschool, those kids are still walking around the street playing in the schoolyards, infecting other kids, aren't they?
It's not the same issue as that herd issue where they are in a classroom. And like I said, I think there needs to be a respect for parents' views on this issue. All parents. I mean, clearly the overwhelming majority of parents support this. I mean, I think the numbers are 85-90%. And I'm in that crowd. That's the crowd I'm in. But I want to make sure it's understood that the party feels that parental rights are being trampled on a bit here, and it needs to be, the issue has that level of complication. That's all I'm suggesting.
I got some other things. I want to go quick because we don't have all that much time, but I want to make sure we get you on the record as much as we can.
Thank you.
First of all, let me ask you about assisted suicide, death with dignity. How do you feel about that?
We oppose it. We believe that, and we oppose it in conjunction with the disability community. We believe that it will transverse into an expansion of beyond what would be assisted suicide and leave the possibility that government could make decisions, particularly in the disability community, that are not proper, you know, in terms of the protection of human life. So that's where we come down. We come down against legalizing assisted suicide.
Okay. Governor Cuomo wants free college education, he says, although there's some debate about whether he really does or not, while acknowledging the cost of higher education is far too expensive. Are you for? I mean, I went to Hunter College. It was free when I went. I loved it. And a lot of kids were there who would not have been able to afford college. That's simple. Where are the conservatives on that?
Well, we do not support the program he created, I guess, 2 years ago. I mean, public colleges are relatively inexpensive, and we felt that we have felt right along that, in a sense, that's already supplemented. There's the TAP program that assists, and obviously, we don't think it's anything. We don't feel it's improper for a college student to get a job and potentially take a loan to be able to afford, you know, a SUNY or CUNY tuitions, which are, you know, for those who can't get into his program, which are still quite reasonable.
Okay.
College education for free is, as we say, there's no such thing as a free lunch, so somebody's paying for it.
Well, yeah, but people pay for the libraries. People pay for elementary schools.
Right, but
not to fight with you, but the downside is, why do we say equality of opportunity until you get to college?
Well, I don't, you know, when we also say that does everybody need a college education? I mean, the opportunity for a college education in a state-run or city-run school is still there because it is very inexpensive. It is very inexpensive in today's age. And you know, and trade schools for those that are thinking a different route. Well, I mean, we would certainly advocate for that too. There are not enough young people looking at some very, very well-paying trades.
How about early voting? You know,
we're not really opposed to that. I'm not opposed to it. I think early voting. You know, we did not feel that early voting was a bad idea. We do feel that any same day registrations are a bad idea, but early voting, you know, we're not talking 2 months before the election. You know, we're talking 2-3 weeks. It just means campaigns have to get their messages out a little early. And I mean, I can tell you where I think where we are in Brooklyn here, and this is where I am. I think early voting would actually enhance the vote the Conservative Party gets.
So, Jerry Kasar, I guess I want to ask you about the concept of a flat tax, where every household in New York pays the same percentage of their income, not progressive, but the same percentage. Are you for it?
The party is essentially for it, but we've been for it, you know, through Forbes and other people that have talked about it over the years. We've been for it really from an academic perspective. You know, the simplicity there is real. I mean, implementation of something as such, you know, is a little more complicated. But the answer to your question, as a straight question, is yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, we would be for it.
a flat tax. And so the millionaires would pay the same as, you know, the guy at the bottom.
Well, like I said, the flat tax is not completely that simple. I know it's it you know, in academically, that would be the way you would discuss the issue. But look, the flat tax is a manner of simplifying the tax system. And we would be generally supportive of a simplification, which is reflected by the description of a flat tax. But like I said, the implementation would have to be more complicated. You can't just bounce revenue around. I mean, government has to have some sense of where that revenue figure is going to end up. So you can't obviously have a, you know, a gigantic reduction in revenue, nor should you have a gigantic increase in revenue. So any tax system changes have to be essentially restricted to creating an easier, a more usable system. I mean, New York State system is fairly simple.
Jerry, I hate to cut you off because we are out of time. This is the first time you've been on. I want you to make sure you come back again. So let's leave something to be desired. We are out of time. Our guest has been Jerry Kasar, chairman of the New York State Conservative Party. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.